about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Now, concerning how and when all this will happen, dear brothers and sisters, we don't really need to write you. For you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. When people are saying everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall on them as suddenly as a pregnant woman's labor pains begin, and there will be no escape. But you aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters, and you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. For you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to darkness and night. So be on your guard, not asleep like others. Stay alert and be clear-headed. Night is the time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive, when he returns, we can live with him forever. So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing. Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peacefully with each other. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. Dear brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all the brothers and sisters with a sacred kiss. I command you in the name of the Lord to read this letter to all the brothers and sisters. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. All of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Thank you, Father, for the power, the wisdom, the grace, the glory, and the strength and the joy that rests and permeates your word. Thank you for the many ways our lives are blessed, strengthened, and impacted by the power and the grace of your word. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of encouragement and grace that would encourage us to be diligent students of your word, believers who are consuming your word in great volume every day and receiving the blessings that follow that. Help us to know, Lord, that as we read your word, we're sitting at your feet, sitting in your presence, receiving of your wisdom, your power, your grace, your goodness, and your mercy. Help us, Lord, daily to fill up on these blessings and so many more. We thank you and we praise you for the wonderful gift of your word. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of prayer. Empower us more and more to be the praying church you've called us to be. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Mark Ose. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Dear Lord God, thank you so very, very much for everything we have to be thankful for. Every good and perfect gift comes from heaven above. We know that. You are the ultimate source of everything, Lord God, and there is so much that we take for granted. I thank you, Lord God, that you saw fit to create the universe. And then you loved us enough to make us a part of that creation. And then you loved us enough to make us aware of you through your word and through your nature. And then you gave us the gift of faith to believe these things and that you are the ultimate source. And that you loved us enough to give us Jesus, to make a way that we could come and be with you in eternity when our time comes. I thank you, Lord God, for your great goodness, which is beyond our understanding. Lord God, help us to understand you more and more. Draw us closer to you day by day. We love you, Lord God, and we know that you love us. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mark. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We continue to remind our listeners that the Operation Christmas Child Outreach, the National Collection Week, continues this week. Keep in mind, Operation Christmas Child is a wonderful outreach that we're encouraging every believer to prayerfully consider to get involved with. The Samaritan's Purse Project called Operation Christmas Child collects shoeboxes that are filled with fun toys, school supplies, and personal care items, and delivers them to children in need around the world to demonstrate God's love in a very tangible and human way. For many of these children, the gift-filled shoeboxes may be some of the first gifts of their kind that they have ever received. Since the year 1993, Operation Christmas Child, the world's largest Christmas project of its kind, has collected and delivered more than 220 million shoeboxes, shoebox gifts, that is, to children in more than 170 countries and territories. In this year, 2024, Operation Christmas Child hopes to collect enough shoebox gifts to reach another 12 million children. So keep in mind, anyone can pack a shoebox or get involved in many different ways. Keep in mind, if you want to learn more or if you'd like to get involved or learn more about what you can do to get involved with this wonderful outreach, go to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. Again, that's SamaritansPurse.org/OCC to learn more about this great outreach. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today, we're specifically looking at the topic, Insights on Thanksgiving, Never Lose Your Song. Again, Insights on Thanksgiving, Never Lose Your Song. And I want to begin by sharing a couple passages from the book of Psalms. I want to start out, actually, with Psalm 100. Psalm 100, beginning at verse 1. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. All of Psalm 100. Now, in just a moment, I'm going to read it again. And what I want to encourage you to do is, as you're listening to it, look at all the commands there. Because remember, one of the powerful ways in which God's Word blesses us is as we read it, we're to read it and then do what it says. And again, there are a number of commands there. Notice again what it says. Again, Psalm 100. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. All of Psalm 100. So looking at the commands, the first one, shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Do what it says. Don't just read it to say you've read it. Do what it says, because the blessing follows. Remember, it blesses us to read the Word of God. And it blesses us, again, as we obey the Word of God. And so we're called not just to read it. We're called to read it and hear it and live by its wisdom. It says, worship the Lord with gladness. Now, some might say, well, I don't feel glad. Well, you can make yourself glad. The fact is, by the grace of God, as a believer, you can actually stir up your joy anytime you choose to. If you choose to make yourself glad, you know, you can do that. You know, there's another scripture that says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It didn't say I was mad when they said unto me. It didn't say I was sad when they said unto me. It says I was glad when they said unto me. You can make yourself glad. It's a wise thing to do. You make yourself glad and stir up your joy. Choose to be joyful. Choose to walk in the joy. So it says worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Now remember, by the grace of God, we can sing. You know, now some people have better voices than others, but keep in mind, you know, even if you don't sing like the greatest singer in the world, if you can sing, you should sing and use that voice to glorify, please, and honor the Lord. Now, keep in mind, again, when you're singing, just you and the Lord, when you sing to worship him from your heart, to the Lord, you sound absolutely beautiful. You sound good. Now, if you know you don't have a good singing voice, don't go to the nursing home and sing solos, you know. The fact is, you know, sometimes they're having a hard time as it is without having somebody that comes in and sounds like a dying cat or something like that. But the fact is, just when you sing between you and the Lord, it blesses the heart of God. So as the scripture says, it says, come before him singing with joy. So sometimes when it's just you and the Lord, sing with joy, and God will thoroughly enjoy your solo or whatever you're singing for, singing as you sing for his glory. It goes on to say, acknowledge that the Lord is God. It's good for us to stop and think about the fact that God is God. I think in our humanness, sometimes we sort of think like God is like he's a superhuman being. God is so far beyond our comprehension. Remember, God made the universe. He made all the stars, and the universe is still expanding. And God made all the people in the world. He gave them the gifts and strengths they have. God made everything. God made dirt. He made flowers. He made people. He made trees. God is so much bigger and greater. It's good to stop and think about how big and great God is. And something that can help you to do that is take time often to read Genesis chapter 1, the story of creation, and think about the fact that God spoke the universe into existence. Now, you know, you and I, we have power in our words, but God, when he speaks, he can create universes. God is God. We're his children, but God is God. So that verse says, acknowledge that the Lord is God. It's good to stop and think about the fact that God, your heavenly Father, he's God. He can do anything. The next scripture says, he made us and we are his. God made us and we belong to him. And we're responsible to him. You know, sometimes people say, well, I'm my own person. I do what I want to do. I do what I want with my life, my body, whatever. Well, by the grace of God, God has given you ownership. So it's not correct to say that I don't have ownership. No, God has given you ownership, but you have stewardship responsibilities to God. And one day you will give account to him what you did with that. So it's not that you don't have ownership. Yes, you do. But at the same time, God owns you. And his ownership is bigger than yours. So it's good to recognize, yes, you have ownership, but you do belong to God. We are his, and we are responsible to him with what we do, with what he's entrusted to us. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Again, we belong to God, and we are his sheep. So we'll pick up there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, as today we're looking at the topic, Insights on Thanksgiving. Never lose your song. We'll be right back.
Put my
the music of Planet Shakers with Only Way, a reminder that Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life and the only way for to receive eternal salvation. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today we're looking at the topic, Insights on Thanksgiving. Never lose your song. And the first passage we read was 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You know, that's a powerful chapter to read often. It has several commands that we're wise to pay attention and follow through with each and every one of them. It tells us to pray without ceasing. It tells us in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, and a few others. But we're wise to read the word and obey what it says. We're going through Psalm 100. And picking up once again at verse 3, it says, acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. And you know, a powerful thing to consider is that many times in Scripture, God refers to us as sheep. Now, keep in mind, the fact is, that's not an insult, but it's a point of reality. We are like sheep. And what is it about sheep that makes us like them? Well, a number of points. One is sheep need a lot of help. Sheep are pretty helpless outside of their shepherd. The shepherd, they really need the shepherd to survive. They desperately need the shepherd to survive because the world is full of predators. Lions and bears, coyotes, all sorts of animals that can easily devour a sheep. And the sheep is to a great extent helpless outside of the protection of a good shepherd. Well, the fact is, we are like sheep. We desperately need a shepherd. So remember, Jesus is our good and great shepherd. So we all need to receive him as Lord and Savior. And God's not meaning to insult us by calling us sheep. He just wants us to know that's what we are. We're like sheep that desperately need a shepherd. You know, I think it's kind of amusing to think about the fact that often schools have lots and lots of mascots. They have lions and tigers and bears and bulldogs, but have yet to hear of a school call themselves the sheep, you know, the Mississippi State University sheep or the Ole Miss sheep or the Michigan State sheep or Ohio State sheep. I have yet to hear that. Maybe I just haven't heard of them. So if you know of a school, please email me and let me know so I'll know there's one out there. But have never heard of the such and such a state sheep. Why? Because they don't seem overly rough and tough and strong and overpowering. But the fact is, God calls us sheep because he wants us to know we need a shepherd. We need a shepherd. And we're wise to acknowledge that as early in life as we can, because without a shepherd, we're lost. And Jesus is our good and great shepherd. Lord, open our eyes to see that we desperately need you as our shepherd, that you're able to save us, protect us, guide us, help us, provide for us, and do all the things a good shepherd can do. Our job is to listen to the voice of the shepherd, that is your word, and obey. Help us to do just that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it goes on to say in verse 4 of Psalm 100, enter his gates with thanksgiving, go into his courts with praise. Make it a point to throughout the day thank God for all kinds of things. Keep in mind, God is listening for your gratitude. Now, you might think, well, you know, God's got busy. You know, he's got plenty of things to do. He's got a universe to run. Would he really pay attention to me? Yes, he will. God acknowledges every single time you take time to thank him. I'm reminded of the powerful instance in Luke chapter 11, which makes a very powerful point. Luke chapter 17. A powerful point. When Jesus healed 10 lepers who were passing by, they cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. And so he calls out, they call out to him. And again, that's Luke chapter 17. In fact, let's take a moment just to read it. We'll come back to Psalm 100. Luke 17, beginning at verse 11, it says, as Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He looked at them and said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus, shouting, praise God. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. The man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." Well, again, it's a powerful and a very sobering point. But the fact is, God, in the busyness of running the universe, acknowledges every single time one of his children says thank you. Even if you thank him over and over again for the same blessing, you know what? God listens and hears and receives every time we take the time to say thank you. And God notices when we don't say thank you. Do you know God literally blesses us in thousands of ways every day of our lives? We're wise to learn to say thank you throughout the day because God blesses us throughout the day. In fact, he runs our cup over every day in so many ways. We should never, ever tire or slow down and want to say, "God, thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, and thank you over and over again." He's such a good God. So we're wise to learn to live with an attitude of gratitude all the time. So make it a goal to just habitually thank and praise God just throughout the day. You don't have to get a megaphone and shout and disrupt everybody else, you know, but just let God know, because if you say it to God, God will hear you and he'll acknowledge that. And you'll be blessed for it because gratitude itself stirs up your joy. And the Bible says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." So giving thanks is important. So again, verse 4 of Psalm 100, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving, go into his courts with praise, give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, his unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation." Be a thankful person. Be a thankful person. And make it a goal to just throughout the day keep, again, Scripture tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, pray without ceasing. One of the ways that helps us to do that is be a thankful person and thank God throughout the day for all kinds of blessings. You know, one of the devil's clear strategies is to want you to focus on what's not right, what's going bad, what's causing problems, and talk about it. He wants to encourage us to complain or talk about what's not going right. And keep in mind, thanksgiving blesses you, it stirs up the Holy Spirit, and it increases God's anointing on your life as a witness for Christ. On the other hand, complaining is like whistling for the devil. Complaining literally invites the devil into any difficult situation. Now, some believers may say, "Well, no, I think it's just neutral. It doesn't really accomplish anything." Yes, it does. Look, read the story in the Old Testament. When the Israelites began to complain in the wilderness, some bad things happened. Complaining is not a neutral activity. Complaining literally is cursing a thing, whatever it is you're complaining about. And you don't want to do that. Be a thankful person. Keep in mind, being thankful literally makes you a richer person in this sense. Because the fact is, when you come to realize life is a gift and that God has blessed us in so many ways, that makes you instantly a rich person. And giving thanks helps you to acknowledge it and see it as well. Being a thankful person. But on the other hand, again, when we fail to give thanks to God, in fact, when we focus on the negative, the trouble, and keep in mind, in life, we do have storms and difficulties that happen, but you don't want to be in a position where you're focusing on the storms, the bad stuff. Always stay in close contact, walk in an intimate relationship with God, and always give thanks and praise. Stay close to him, and be someone who thanks and praise him, even in the midst of the storms of life, the difficulties of life. I want to invite you to look with me in the book of Psalms. Psalm 137, an interesting psalm, a unique psalm, that is a psalm found during, it draws from the time of when the Israelites had gone into captivity. This is Psalm 137, beginning at verse 1. "Beside the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept as we thought of Jerusalem. We put away our harps, hanging them on the branches of poplar trees. For our captors demanded a song from us. Our tormentors insisted on a joyful hymn. Sing us one of those songs of Jerusalem. But how can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a pagan land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget how to play the harp. May my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth. If I fail to remember you, if I don't make Jerusalem my greatest joy." Again, verses 1 through 6 of Psalm 137. Again, a unique situation. Again, the Israelites have been carried into captivity as a result of this sin. And so they're in a foreign land, living far away from their home, and they're longing to be back home. And sadly, it looks like they've lost their song. And the fact is, in life, you never want to lose your song, because your song is more than just a song. When it comes to being a believer, you could say that your song is your intimate walk with God, your walk of joy, your walk of thanksgiving and praise. Giving thanks to God in all situations is a wise battle strategy for living life. Because sometimes you're on the mountaintop, sometimes you're in the valley. But you serve a shepherd that's going to walk with you all the time. So you need to stay close to him. And one of the ways we do that is acknowledge him through a thanksgiving and praise all the time. Giving him thanks and praise all the time is very, very important. I'm reminded of a story that makes a powerful point. It's a story of a lady that had a songbird, and she kept him in a cage in her living room. And every morning, the songbird, early in the morning, would start singing a beautiful bird song. And the woman thoroughly enjoyed it. And when people come to visit, they too would enjoy it. This bird seemed to have so much joy and strength in its bird song. Every morning, they could count on that song being sung by the beautiful song of that bird. But one day, she was cleaning the cage and kind of vacuuming and kind of cleaning it up. And vacuuming the cage, and the vacuum got a little bit too close to the bird, and sadly, the bird got sucked into the vacuum. Oh, she was horrified, and she quickly stopped the vacuum and opened the pout, and to her relief, the little bird wasn't dead. Now, he was pretty traumatized, pretty shook up, and I imagine if you get sucked in a vacuum, you'd be a little bit traumatized, too. But she got him out and cleaned it back up, and put him in the cage. She thought, oh, well, I'm so thankful that he's okay, that she's okay. And so she puts him there. And so she cleans him up. And from all outward appearance, it appeared that the little bird was okay. The next morning, she noticed the little bird wasn't singing. And she thought, uh-oh, she's still traumatized from what happened yesterday, but maybe she'll get over it in a couple days. And then the second day, the little bird wasn't singing. The third day, the fourth day, after a week, and after 2 weeks, the little bird didn't start singing. And the reality is the little bird never sang again. The trauma of being sucked into the vacuum affected the little bird so tremendously that the bird never sang again. But a very important truth that you can draw from this little incident, this little story, is it's important that you don't want to be like the little bird. Life sometimes has accidents and storms. It sometimes traumatizes us, losses that happen in our lives, difficulties, troubles that come. But the fact is, never lose your song. But again, keep in mind, your song is more than just singing a song. Your song is your intimate walk with God, your ability to thank and praise God, even in the midst of the storms and the trauma of life, the difficulties, the valleys that we go through. God is still with you. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, even when you go through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to fear evil because God is still with you. But if we allow the trauma or the difficulty, the storm to do this, the storm will try to take your joy. It'll try to take away your peace, try to take away your contentment in Christ. It's important you never lose your song. Stay close to God. Keep praying. Keep praising and worshiping him. Again, remember Scripture says, in everything give thanks. But this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's very, very important. Because as we learn to give thanks and praise, even in the midst of difficult situations, there's great grace and strength and blessing that will follow as we never lose our song. I want to share with you an article that powerfully illustrates that as we share about an individual who learned to never lose her song, but learned to stay close, worshiping and praising and walking with God, even in the midst of the difficulties and the storms of life. The title of the article is, An Attitude of Gratitude is Its Own Reward. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. And again, reading that scripture again. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17. We're going to pick up right there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. As we're looking today at the topic, Insights on Thanksgiving, Never Lose Your Song. We'll be right back. Music from Elevation Worship with Grateful. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, Insights on Thanksgiving. Never Lose Your Song. And keep in mind, I'm in the midst of sharing from an article entitled, An Attitude of Gratitude is Its Own Reward. And keep in mind, as I share the article, it's very important that when we read the Word of God, do what it says. Because the blessing follows obedience. We read it and think, well, that's nice, but that doesn't work for me. That's not smart. God's word works for those who work it. You hear it, do it, and the blessing follows. Every act of obedience is followed by an outpouring of God's grace to bless your life. So again, the title of the article, An Attitude of Gratitude is Its Own Reward. Again, be a hearer and a doer of his word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Why is it so important to give thanks to God in the good times and in the bad, in the sunshine and in the rain? Well, one reason that's important is because life is a gift. Another reason is thanksgiving and praise are powerful weapons that help you to be an overcomer and winner in life. See 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. This is true no matter what the obstacles or trials you face. Allow me to share a tremendous illustration of this reality. Francis had what many would consider a tough, tragic, and troubled life. A doctor's error left her at 6 weeks of age with lifelong blindness. Her father passed away when she was very young. She was raised by her mother and grandmother. Many in today's world would believe Frances had plenty of reasons to be unhappy, depressed, and without hope. However, in her autobiography, Frances June Crosby chose to write these amazing words. It seemed intended by the blessed providence of God that I should be blind all my life, and I thank him for the dispensation. The doctor who made the mistake later moved away. However, Francis wrote, if I could meet him now, that is, of course, the doctor, if I could meet him now, I would say, thank you, over and over again for making me blind. Though many may conclude that living a life with blindness would be a sad, disappointing life, Frances considered it to be one of her greatest blessings. She considered her blindness to be a gift from God. She said, I could not have written thousands of hymns if I had been hindered by the distractions of seeing all the interesting and beautiful objects that would have been presented to my notice. By the way, many know Frances June Crosby so much better by the name Fanny Crosby, the great hymn and songwriter. Fanny Crosby blessed the church and the world with a number of quite a few songs that include Blessed Assurance, To God Be the Glory, Redeemed, All the Way My Savior Leads Me, and many, many others. She is a tremendous example of one who lived with a grateful spirit and with an attitude of gratitude. Having this attitude was a great blessing to her, and she in turn continues to be a great blessing to the church and to the world long after she passed from this world. Make it your goal to thank God in all circumstances. Remember, your thanksgiving, praise, and worship are weapons. For even in tough times, God really does run our cups over in blessing in so many ways. See Psalm 23, verse 5. Take time to thank and praise God for His goodness every day. Don't focus on the negative things in life. Focus on the blessings. It will change your whole outlook on every part of life. Also, being grateful to God for His goodness will stir up your joy. Be mindful, too, that being genuinely grateful makes you instantly rich in the truest sense of the word. Ask God to anoint you today with the spirit of praise, gratitude, and worship. Instead of complaining about the rain, thank God for watering His beautiful world for free. Instead of complaining about not feeling well, thank God that you're alive. Instead of complaining about having to clean your house, thank God that you have a house to clean. Instead of being impatient with family members, thank God for the gift your loved ones are to you. Instead of complaining about your job, thank God that you have a job and an income. Instead of complaining about the world, thank God for the opportunity to pray and help change the world to be a better place. Give thanks in all things. And do remember this, being a genuinely grateful person will bless you in your life tremendously. Fanny Crosby lived out both the literal and biblical meaning of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, but by doing so obediently, she became an example of Colossians 3, 23, and gave her praise to God for thousands of tongues to sing. Praise and thank God daily and often. Living life with an attitude of gratitude really is its own reward. Again, the title of that article is An Attitude of Gratitude is Its Own Reward. And so keep in mind a very challenging and a powerful example found in the life of Fanny Crosby. And I would challenge every single listener to really stop and think about this. Think of the biggest challenges, problems, or storms you're facing. Remember this, one of the powerful weapons God has put in your hands to combat whatever you're facing today are the weapons of praise, thanksgiving, and worship. As you praise and give thanks and worship to God, the Spirit of God is allowed to enter that situation and begin to work in greater and greater ways. Yes, praise, thanksgiving, and worship are forms of prayer, forms of communing with God. So we're wise to fill our lives with thanksgiving, praise, and worship of our Heavenly Father because it allows the Spirit of God to begin to work on our behalf in the midst of any situation where the devil's trying to come against it. Think of, again, Fanny Crosby's situation, having been, because of a doctor's error, caused to be blind for the rest of her life, yet she was a very, very joyful child and joyful adult. And remember, she wrote over 8,000 hymns in her lifetime. She allowed the Holy Spirit to work on her behalf as she gave thanks and praise and lived a life and lifestyle of joy. You and I are wise to do the same thing. Yes, you're facing trials, and trials hurt. Trials are tough. Trials are difficult, and it may sometimes feel like you get out of one storm and you step into another. But you know what? If you are wise enough to give thanks and praise to God in the midst of it all, God can do powerful, powerful things. The final passage I want to read is found in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 16, picking up at verse 6. Next, Paul and Silas traveled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia. Because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. Then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia. But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. So instead, they went on through Mysia to the seaport of Troas. That night, Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there pleading with him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. Verses 6 to 10, Acts chapter 16. For time reasons, just to summarize the story, Paul and Silas were following the Lord, and they head to Macedonia and to another part of the world to preach the gospel. Well, while there was a demon-possessed girl who began to follow them and say troublesome things and just kind of mocking at them of sorts. Paul cast the demon out of the girl, and so she's set free. But the people who had been making money off what she did in the midst of her demon possession, those folks weren't happy at all. They had Paul and Silas grabbed, beaten, and thrown in jail. Well, Paul and Silas are in jail, and they were in jail for preaching the gospel. What did they do once in jail? Well, let's see what the scripture says. This is Acts 16, verse 25. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundation. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself, but Paul shouted to him, "Stop, don't kill yourself, we are all here." And so notice what happens. They were beaten, thrown in jail, and Paul and Silas could have been in jail complaining, saying, "I thought serving God was going to have blessing behind it, but look like here we've been beaten and thrown in jail. I wonder, do we need to keep preaching?" Nope, they're in jail praying and worshiping God. And look what praying and worshiping God did. God sent an earthquake, set the prisoners free, and the jailer and his whole family got saved. So praise and worship in the midst of trouble, what did it do? It caused the whole family to get saved. And when it was all said and done, the devil regretted that he ever sent the storm because he lost out in spite of what he tried to do. When we're wise enough to thank and praise and worship God, even in the midst of the storms of life, watch God work and do great and powerful things as we give him thanks, praise, and worship and glory. Father, thank you for the opportunity we have of learning to live a lifestyle of thanksgiving and praise. You told us in your word, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace that would encourage us to do just that. Teach us to be a people who live a lifestyle of thanksgiving, praise, and worship. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen." Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening and you've never invited Jesus Christ into your heart as Lord and Savior, today is a wonderful day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step, would you, from your heart, simply pray this prayer with me and ask Christ to save you, to make you brand new? Would you pray this prayer with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. You said in your word, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Lord, today I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me, fill me with your spirit, help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you gave your life to Christ and prayed just then, we want to be in touch with you. Again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We do want to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please get in touch with us so we can get this info, this information to you. Again, joseph@afr.net. If you'd like to get a copy of the article that we shared earlier entitled "An Attitude of Gratitude is Its Own Reward," simply email us, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get the article to you. Again, the title, "An Attitude of Gratitude is Its Own Reward." We'll be glad to get it to you. Again, joseph@afr.net. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.